You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Today marks the 85th anniversary of Prohibition being officially repealed, ending our nation's failed experiment in banning alcohol. If you think government no longer plays a role in micromanaging alcohol, though, think again. Across the country, all levels of government continue to have its hand in alcohol. And many would argue the laws are outdated and restrictive, and they do not protect public health and safety. They mainly protect and help with economic interests. Here in Idaho, the history of alcohol is long and it is complicated. Samantha Wright has more.
Jeff Anderson, the director of the Idaho State Liquor Division, sums up this story in one short sentence.
It's terribly complicated, and the beverage alcohol laws have been kind of kludged together over decades.
He's talking about the patchwork of laws that cover alcohol in Idaho, many of which stem from 1935. To really understand Idaho's laws, we have to go back in time.
So late 19th, early 20th century, there was a lot of abuse of beverage alcohol.
In the 1880s, the Women's Christian Temperance Union settled in Lewiston and Boise. By the turn of the century, the Anti-Saloon League was also advocating for temperance. Sarah Phillips, a curator at the Idaho Historical Museum, says many of the members came together and found a community.
These were evangelical Christians. A lot of times, it felt good for them to find a group of people that supported their morals and their beliefs.
The Anti-Saloon League got the Sabbath law passed in Idaho in 1907, which prohibited alcohol sales on Sunday. A few years later, Moses Alexander, Idaho's first Jewish governor, ran on a prohibition platform and won. He supported a constitutional amendment outlawing all alcohol sales in Idaho, and it passed in 1917.
It caught on like wildfire. You know, it really did, and it was a slow burn at first, but when it really caught on, people voted in droves for it. You know, prohibition in Idaho passed by 71%.
Idaho's own form of prohibition kicked in 3 years before the entire country went dry, and Idaho's reasoning was much the same as the rest of the nation.
They felt that that would ensure, you know, morals. It would ensure people's prosperity. Family life would be better. All of a sudden, all of these problems that we were having were all going to disappear if people would just put down the drink.
But over the next 13 years, attitudes changed. Bootlegging, cultural shifts, the Depression, and taxing booze convinced the country to repeal prohibition in 1933. Idaho repealed prohibition somewhat reluctantly. For the most part, laws passed in 1935 in Idaho haven't changed much. For beer and wine, the wholesale and retail functions are in the private sector. And Anderson says for distilled spirits, the state retained control over the importation, distribution, and retail sale of liquor.
And then, you know, counties can set restrictions on those things as well. So, for example, if you go into eastern Idaho, you'll find a county that does not offer liquor by the drink anywhere. And, you know, that's, again, up to the sensibility of their citizens.
That's Madison County. Anderson says those laws have a lot to do with the character of Idaho.
It's partly societal and cultural. We are a little more conservative. I think it would not be untrue to say that, you know, the cultural makeup of our state has something to do with that.
A lot of Idaho's laws have to do with access to alcohol, like when you can buy booze. For law enforcement, it's more about public safety than morality.
It is a legal drug that causes billions of dollars worth of damage across this country. That's a lot of money. Lost work, lost revenue, you know, death in the families.
That's Lieutenant Sam Ketchum with the Idaho State Police Alcohol Beverage Control. ABC, as it's known, enforces the alcohol laws in the state. And Ketchum says a lot of those 80-year-old laws have never been updated. And businesses are challenging those laws as they get more creative about what they sell, like ice cream.
At no time did Prohibition ever come along and imagine that we were going to have an ice cream shop that mixed their ice cream with beer, wine, and liquor. So is that a food product? Is it a alcohol product? Do we license them? Do we not license them? None of that's ever covered in law.
While small businesses try to jump through Idaho's patchwork alcohol laws to make a buck, there's another financial aspect to liquor in Idaho. Alcohol sales have grown more than $74 million in 8 years. State forecasts predict it'll generate close to $1 billion over the next decade. Jeff Anderson says that money funds state and local governments, substance abuse treatment, and other programs.
I see the benefits it brings to small communities through the money that goes back to them. And if there's $925 million that's coming back to our beneficiaries over the next decade, and we remove the system and we dismantle it, what happens to that $925 million? That's the big question.
Anderson and Ketchum agree that it's up to lawmakers to make changes to alcohol laws if prompted by businesses or citizens. But just how much change is likely in a conservative state is hard to predict. For KBSX News, I'm Samantha Wright.
So here in Idaho, as Samantha alluded to, the state controls how many liquor licenses are available. And when the population rises, more licenses are given out. But there is a skyrocketing and lucrative secondhand market, which many say actually stifles new local businesses. But state officials say their hands are tied. Our Matt Gillum has more.
The saying goes that rules are meant to be broken. But in the case of Idaho liquor licenses, it would seem rules were meant to be exempted.
A golf course license, a ski resort license, an equestrian license, airport restaurant, club license, convention center, continuous operation license, tribal lodge conference center license.
Nicole Harvey hasn't gotten to all 13 specialty licenses available to niche businesses. The office manager for the Alcohol Beverage Control Wing of the Idaho State Police says all of those are in addition to the basic license needed to open up a watering hole in the heart of town. Harvey says the current quota system tying each new license to a population increase of 1,500 went into effect in the 1950s. It was done
in an effort to limit the number of liquor licenses within incorporated cities. And that is where we are today. Those laws haven't changed much.
The last time Pocatello got a new license was 1975. It was 1972 for Ketchum. With short supply and high demand, there's a thriving off-the-books marketplace for licenses, especially in Boise. Chris Mitchell is behind the bar making a couple of old fashions at St. Lawrence Gridiron. The Kentucky transplant manages the restaurant. He says like many establishments in Boise, St. Lawrence leased their license from a broker.
We'd ask him, hey, are we good? Are we good to renew for the next year? You know, because we had a yearly agreement. He said, yeah, we were. And then the day of, he said we weren't. He sold it to the Marriott.
Overnight, the restaurant that prides itself on its cocktail program couldn't serve liquor. There's a wait time of 5 to 8 years in Boise for a new license issued by the state that'll cost $800. Meanwhile, on the secondary market, they're available immediately for around $170,000 to $180,000.
Liquor licenses in Idaho are kind of way above national average for the size of the market. I mean, in Chicago, you're looking at $4,500 for a two-year. Idaho, you're looking at $180,000. Is the going rate right now, you know, which makes it hard for small craft cocktails places or small restaurants, you know, to kind of generate that kind of capital.
Mitchell says St. Lawrence got a temporary license from the state to serve beer and wine. After a few weeks, the temp expired and the establishment went completely dry. Eventually, they found another license to lease, but Mitchell figures the whole ordeal lost the business probably around $100,000. Mitchell believes the system of licenses commodity stifles new small bars or eateries from opening in the state capital.
For people who even are doing pretty well financially, I mean, you know, relatively, the associated cost of starting that up compared to what you'll make in the long run, yeah, it's definitely prohibitive. I mean, having to deal with that definitely puts a damper on it.
Back at Alcohol Beverage Control, licensing specialist Kelsey Woodward says there's a backlash to getting rid of the quota system. So many people have bought in and given the licenses their premium status. Plus, the state gets a 10% transfer fee every time a license changes hands. With around 30 transfers per year in Boise, that adds up to about $500,000 going to the state's general fund annually. When it comes to explaining Idaho's alcohol rules to entrepreneurs looking to start a bar or restaurant here, Woodward says it's frustrating.
My hands are tied. It's the law, and there's nothing that I can do. I mean, I would love to see these businesses come here and help us grow, and I mean, I really just don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of those hard things for me to tell people, you know, that this is how we have it set up here.
Woodward's colleague, Nicole Harvey, is equally hamstrung.
Until there's some reform that helps businesses, whether that be for economic development or just the idea of loosening those liquor licenses in certain areas or maybe all areas of Idaho, I just think that we are bound by what's written in the book and we just go, you know, these are the statutes.
Proposals that would have overhauled the distribution of licenses didn't get traction at the Statehouse in 2017 or 2009. In the meantime, both women say they're making good progress getting through the roughly 50-deep Boise wait list. They're quick to point out there's no quota for beer and wine permits, and alcohol licenses are readily available in Nampa, Star, and Ammon. For KBSX News, I'm Matt Gillum.
The repeal of prohibition happened at 5:32 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on December 5, 1933, when Utah became the 36th state to ratify the 21st Amendment. That decision gave the new edition enough support to be added to the Constitution, where, as the only constitutional amendment to repeal an earlier one, it repealed the 18th Amendment. So after 13 years of prohibition, the passing of the 21st Amendment wiped away the U.S. ban on the manufacture, sale, and transportation of, quote, intoxicating liquors.